245 years ago, brave men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish a country where we can live free. Our nation isn't perfect, but it is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. This July 4th, let us honor the sacrifice of the many who fought to establish and preserve our freedom. Thank God for His blessings on America and fight to return our nation back to God. God bless America.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Today is a day that we celebrate mothers, that we remember our mothers, that we thank our mothers, that we honor the mothers. Yet today in America, there are millions of mothers that are mourning. They're mourning over the loss of their own children. Very often, children that where they participated in the death of their own child through abortion, either by reluctantly going along with this plan, having been pressured by maybe their boyfriend or their parents, her parents, or her husband, or being an advocate for the death of her own child. These women are sitting in churches today and will be taken out to eat today because many of them have other children. But they're hoping that no one will find out, that people won't know what they did. Today, we're going to offer help. We're going to offer hope. We're going to offer healing. We're going to offer forgiveness that comes through confessing your sins before God and calling out to Him to repent of your sin and to confess that sin before Him so that He can forgive you. God is calling for us today to be honest. He's calling for us to be truthful. He's calling for us to admit when what we have done. He is calling for us, and He has placed before us life and death, and He is calling us to choose life that we and our descendants may live. We have shown from the Bible, first of all, when we're looking at the issue of the sanctity of human life and the protection of innocent human life, we have actually seen that, first of all, we should look at the Bible. That should be our source of what is true, what we should believe, how we should act. And we have seen from the Bible that all men, every human being, every boy, every girl, from the moment of earliest beginning, which is biologically fertilization, and scientists tell us that there's actually a flash of light that happens when fertilization happens, that this is something that God's power is working to create this new life. As the seed of the man comes with the egg of the woman, and they come together, and you actually have a brand new life created in God's image. This image of God was the very reason that God instituted the death penalty, to protect innocent human life. And we have seen that the psalmist was actually formed and knit in his mother's womb by God Himself, that Jeremiah was called to be a prophet while he was in his mother's womb, that John the Baptist was actually filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. And we know for certain that he was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. We don't know the exact time, but it was very likely when Jesus, who was in his mother's womb, Mary, came into his presence, and John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb. And Elizabeth, we know from the Bible account that she was filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. It's very likely that John also was filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. We know that the Savior was called in his mother's womb, that the Apostle Paul was separated from his mother's womb to preach the gospel long before God would call him, long before God would set him free from his sin. God had set him apart to be his vessel, his minister, to preach the gospel. We saw also that David said that he was a sinner from conception. To be a sinner, you have to have a soul. To be a soul, you're a person. You're a human being. And we know that in John chapter or Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So that seed of man actually coming down from Adam, all the way from Adam, every child that has been conceived since that time, which, by the way, is all children, because there were no children prior to Adam and Eve sinning. But every human being has been actually conceived in sin. We also looked at the scientific data. We've heard a lot in the last 4 years about trusting science, yet certain people only want to look at the science and trust science when it agrees with what their agenda is. When we talk about preborn children, it is clear that children actually begin at the moment of fertilization, and we actually went through the various developmental stages and the various things that happen at certain times. And you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle. And you can see that there's actually those, you can watch those previous sermons where we went over that. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, this is as Jeremiah is lamenting over what had happened to the children of Israel. He says, even the jackals present their breast to nurse their young, but the daughter of my people is cruel like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. And yet in America today, we have women that have been told it's your body, it's your right, even though the preborn child that is inside of them, that certainly is inside of their body, but is not their body as a separate human being, very often always has separate DNA, very often has a separate blood type, about half the time has a separate biological sex. And this preborn child is a separate human being. And we have women that have been told, this is your body, this is your right. Planned Parenthood has told women, this is just a blob of tissue. It's not really a human being at this stage. And yet today, there are women through chemical abortion who are having very early abortions, and they're actually delivering a dead baby in their own toilet. And they're seeing not a blob of tissue, but they're seeing a baby girl or a baby boy. Maybe this is even before they can tell whether this is a boy or a girl. But they're still seeing a head. They're seeing a body. They're seeing arms and legs and hands and feet and fingers and toes. And they're actually realizing that they participated in the death of their own child. And this happened so soon that unless they told anyone this happened, no one will even know that this happened. Only the people that they would have told would know that this even happened. But they know, and there are millions today, millions of women that are weeping for their children, that are mourning for their children. And there was a time in when Jesus was born, after Jesus was born, that you may recall hearing about that and reading about the wise men that came and they asked Herod where Jesus, the king was. And Herod said, well, make sure when you find him that you come back and tell me where he is. And so the wise men came, but they were warned by God to not go back to Herod. So they departed another way. They didn't stop and tell Herod where the child was. But what Herod said is, I'm going to wipe out all of the male children that are 2 years old and under. And thankfully, the angel had warned Mary and Joseph to actually flee with baby Jesus. They went to Egypt. But what happened was Herod sent soldiers throughout the land of Israel to kill the children, the male children under 2 years old, so that he could kill Jesus Christ. And in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 2, we read, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth to put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the district from 2 years old and under, according to the time which was he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And these, you can imagine, that every family in the land of Israel at that time had their baby boys that were 2 years old and under were actually executed, killed in front of their parents. And the women were weeping for their children and refusing to be comforted because their children were no more. In America today, we have millions. We're talking 65, 66, 67 million preborn children that have been killed by abortion. Now, some of the women that have had abortions have had more than one abortion. So certainly there's not 65 million women that are mourning for the death of their own children, but we do have millions and millions of women. In fact, about a third of the women that you see, that you meet, have actually had an abortion. And they're weeping, maybe undercover, maybe not openly, maybe not letting anyone know, but secretly many of them are mourning over the loss of their child. And there are a lot of complications that actually happen after abortion. And approximately 10% of women who undergo elective abortions will suffer immediate complications. The most common complications that occur at the time of an abortion are perforation of the uterus. This would be with a surgical abortion. Excessive bleeding, which could happen not only with surgical but also chemical abortion. Infection, embolism, retained tissue, a part of the baby that actually stays inside the mother. A hemorrhage, cervical injury, endotoxic shock, bogey uterus, failure to recognize an ectopic pregnancy. In other words, the woman could actually go through an abortion without knowing, without realizing that the baby is actually not in her womb, is in her fallopian tube. A survey of post-aborted women found that 28% have actually attempted suicide. 31% experience suicidal feelings. 60% commented that the decision to abort made their lives worse. And 94% regretted their decision to abort. Another survey of reaction to abortion said that over 50% of women experienced one or more of the following feelings after they had abortions: depression, guilt, regret, nervousness, insomnia. There's also problems with future pregnancy. After abortion, 24% of women experience complications with later pregnancies. These include excessive bleeding, premature delivery, cervical incompetence, or rupture of the placenta. Women who abort are nearly four times more likely to start abusing alcohol or drugs. Tubal or ectopic pregnancies increase by 30% after one abortion, by 160% after two or more abortions. Approximately 14% of women who have an abortion will miscarry a future pregnancy, and that risk increases to 200% with multiple abortions. The risk of placenta previa, which produces extremely severe life-threatening bleeding during future pregnancies, increases by 600% after an abortion. Approximately 5% of women who abort develop pelvic inflammatory disease within 4 weeks after a first trimester abortion. For patients who have a chlamydia infection at the time of abortion, the risk of PID increases to 23%. Women with prior or current PID experience a decrease in fertility and an extended period of pain following an abortion. An analyst of 38 worldwide studies found a 30% overall increase risk of breast cancer after abortion. By the way, this is something that the Breast Cancer Institute will not tell women. Women are being lied to about the risk of abortion. And really what's happening here is that the body is gearing up to have a baby. The hormones are all working in a mother's body to actually produce this baby, to deliver this baby, and then when the baby is delivered, to allow that baby to nurse. And so the whole body of a woman is getting ready for this, including her breast, and the abortion abruptly ends that process, and that causes an increased risk of breast cancer. The risk of breast cancer increases to 90% for abortions performed after 18 weeks and to 150% if the woman is under 18. 100% greater risk of medical complications for women under 20 than for women between 25 and 29. 100% greater risk of cervical injury as a result of abortion for women under 20 than for a woman over 30 years of age. A teenage girl is 10 times more likely to commit suicide if she has had an abortion in the last 6 months. Women who have had one abortion are four times more likely to abort a later pregnancy than women with no abortion history. the pain is real out there. The good news, though, is that God is offering forgiveness. You don't have to go through life fearing what is happening, fearing that someone will find out, hoping that no one finds out, wondering what people will think about you if they find out what you have done, wondering how this will all happen. You can actually confess your sin before God. You can repent of your sin. You can cry out to God, and God will forgive you of your sin. Whether you've been a mother that has willingly or even felt like she was pressured into having this abortion, you can actually stand up. You can repent of your sins, and you can turn back to God. Even if you've never served God, you can turn to God for the first time. In Acts chapter 3, we see this call and this promise in verse 19, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So here we see a promise that if we repent of our sin, our sins can be blotted out. Our sins, we can be set free by God. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning of verse 8, we see, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." You see, the Bible says that we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Whether you've participated in abortion or not, you have sinned. Everyone has sinned. We all have fallen short. We all need a Savior. We all need to repent of our sins. In verse 9, we see, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." And today, millions of women are in this situation where you know you have sinned, you know you have participated in the death of your own child, and this is something that bothers you, and maybe you've attempted to commit suicide, or you've thought about it, or you've had some of the complications that I've talked about today. You've hoped that no one would find out about this. If you say that this didn't happen or pretend that it didn't happen, it doesn't mean that it didn't happen. God knows that it happened. You know that it happened. And there are others that know that it happened as well. Confess your sin before God. If you confess your sin before God, if you repent of your sin before God, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There are a whole bunch of women out there who have actually had abortions, who have confessed their sin, who have repented before God, who have asked God to forgive them of their sins, and God has forgiven them of their sins. In fact, the vast majority of the women that are actively working in the pro-life movement have actually formerly been involved with abortion. Some of them in abortion clinics, but a lot of them have had an abortion. They know what it feels like. They know the regret. They know the pain. They know the suffering. They know the feeling of sitting by and wondering and thinking how old this child would be, pondering whether this child would have been a boy or a girl, whether this child would have loved baseball or football or basketball or ballet or art or reading, scholastics, whether this child would have been talkative or more of an introvert, whether this child, what color of hair this child would have, how old this child would be. In fact, the women who have had an abortion, they know the time when that child would have been born. And they actually mourn every year when that child would have been born. You don't have to go through life. Certainly, you never will forget that this happened. But you don't have to go through life hoping that no one will find out. Hoping that no one will realize the secret that you're keeping. You can confess your sin before God. You can be set free from that sin. I want to give you some resources if you are out there and you've been involved in abortion. By the way, it's not just women that have been involved in abortion. It's also men. Maybe you're a man out there and you've been involved in abortion as well. Maybe the baby that was aborted was your grandchild and you were encouraging your daughter or your son that you're not old enough to have this baby. You're not old enough to care for a baby. And you actually advocated for the death of your own grandchild. You can confess your sins before God. And there are resources out there. There are pro-life pregnancy centers. You can actually search on Google for a pro-life pregnancy center. Most of them either have a post-abortion healing a class that they will actually enroll you in, where you can actually sit with other people who have had an abortion, and you can work through not just receiving God's forgiveness, because that's the easy part, but you can work through accepting His forgiveness and acknowledging that you are forgiven. So I would encourage you to confess your sin before God, to cry out to Him, to call unto Him, and to allow Him to forgive you and set you free from that sin, and reach out to a pro-life pregnancy center. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Years ago, brave men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish a country where we can live free. Our nation isn't perfect, but it is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. This July 4th, let us honor the sacrifice of the many who fought to establish and preserve our freedom. Thank God for His blessings on America and fight to return our nation back to God. God bless America.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. There Your mercy and Your grace was free. There Your pardon multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. I've given Jesus everything.